Okay, welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. So, this is episode 101, and I hope you guys all enjoyed that last episode, which featured Brother Chris Hodan. With me in the studio slash my home office is my dog, Einstein, today. So anyway, off the top, I wanted to say thanks to a great bunch of folks, and I'll be telling quite a bit more in a few pieces that I'm writing for the Midnight Freemasons, but basically, one of our podcast partners, Brother Rob Lewis, was going to finally get his third degree. I had alluded that I might be able to make it out to California to be there for it. I kind of dropped the subject and avoided it when he asked. Long story short, I flew from Chicago to LA to surprise Brother Lewis, and I think I managed to surprise him a bit. But the trip was so awesome, and I have to thank all the brothers from LA Lodge 42 for the hospitality. Worshipful Master Andre, you were awesome, and thanks for helping keep all of this under wraps. Also, I have to thank Brother Harry from Santa Monica Palisades Lodge as well for letting me bunk up at the Masonic Center. Not many lodges have rooms for traveling brothers, but this one did, and it was so great. And one more thanks also to Brother Johnny Oggiano, who helped me out twofold. He made another donation to us, which again is so awesome, and thank you for that, brother. But also, he is the one who turned me on to the rooms at the Masonic Center. So without him, I would have paid about $350 for a single night. Don't get me wrong, I would have paid it, because I had no choice. But Brother Johnny, you saved me some serious cash, so thank you very much. So one more time, congrats, Brother Rob Lewis, from the Far From Centered podcast, for getting your third degree. Now, also, I'd be a bonehead here if I didn't thank Brother Juan Sepulveda from the Winding Stairs podcast and Masonic Fundraiser. You all know that Brother Juan makes these handmade leather aprons, and they are absolutely wonderful in craftsmanship. I bought one to give to Brother Rob Lewis so that he would have a separate apron from the one that he was given to wear around in his travels. Anyway, Brother Juan got that apron made, shipped, and to my door in such a hurry. So for that, I have to say thank you so very much. And also, Brother Juan's son helped package that up a little bit. And I thought that was very sweet, and I just want to say thanks to your son also. One other thing that I'm working on is Brother Charles Harper's lecture from the St. John Day Festive Board in Flint, Michigan. I'll be working on layering the audio and some video together to make something that you can all watch and listen to. I think you will all love it. Its emphasis is on traveling. Once I'm done with it, it'll go directly to Brother Charles, who'll decide where he wants to go with it. But I'll probably also have it up on our YouTube and Vimeo channels as well. Speaking of video, I am having some trouble with the latest video content, which went out with the Apple and Android apps. I'm working on it. Also, I'm working on some issues that arise within the app for Android users when they experience a little bit of a hang-up. So if you're listening, brothers, you know who you are. I have not forgotten about you. I'm working on it. Regarding the apps, you all know that this show has a Stitcher Smart Radio app, and when you register for free using the promo code WhenceCameU with no spaces, Stitcher sends us a dollar to keep the lights on. You guys also know that we have an Android and Apple app, which let you stream the show anywhere, and that by getting the app, you have access to bonus features like Masonic wallpapers, which come out weekly, and also, in most cases, the PDF of the papers that we read on the show. Well, now we also have a Windows 8 app, which is for the phone or the desktop system. Links to this new way to listen for our Windows 8 users will be on the website, and I'm pretty excited about it. Also, some of you who are on the BlackBerry system, we are on the RIM network as well. So if you're on a BlackBerry, but you're always switching to your iPod to listen to the show, you actually don't have to do that. We're on the RIM podcast network, which is BlackBerry's podcast channel. Anyway, it's time to get into some of the meat of the show. This first piece is called Freemasonry Defined. So again, this is Freemasonry Defined by Brother Jeffrey Nations and Philip Elam. Brother Nations is a past Grand Master of Missouri, and Brother Elam is a past Master of Freedom Lodge, number 636 St. Louis, Missouri. Together, they authored Freemasonry Defined to give a clear and concise overview of the Masonic fraternity. The picture of Freemasonry painted in this short talk bulletin should be in the hearts of all Freemasons. Editor. And now for the paper. Freemasonry is the science by which morality is taught through the visible symbols and instructive traditions associated with the erection of King Solomon's temple some 3,000 years ago. Like every science and permanent institution, Freemasonry is built on certain conceded principles. These include a belief in the one living and true God, a revelation of His will, the resurrection of the body, and the immortality of the soul. When we say one God, we refer to the supreme and benevolent being in which a man places his ultimate trust. We are non-denominational institution accepting men of all faiths. Freemasonry, however, is supportive of every religion believing in one God. It denies to no man his particular theological or secular beliefs, but rather complements those beliefs. Without an express belief in these principles, no man can ever become a Freemason. Acceptance in the fatherhood of God is the very foundation of the Masonic institution. From the fatherhood of God logically flows the brotherhood of man. The Masonic fraternity stands before the world today not merely as a marvelous monument of antiquity, but older, larger, and more widely spread than almost any other human institution, having maintained for so many centuries the essentials of its primary organization. It has long outlived the circumstances which gave it birth. The necessities which called Freemasonry into being have long ago ceased to exist. Originally a company of stonemasons and builders whose monuments or rare skill now adorn almost every part of the world, the hand of time has brought those operative labors to a close. But the everlasting principle upon which our beloved ancient craft was founded are as intact today as when they emerged from the very shadows of history. Since its founding, dynasties have come and gone. Nations have been born and buried, and countless orders and societies have been organized and passed into obscurity. Our order has maintained its ancient organization, teaching its lessons of love, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, and is today a great and strong organization. It is true that our fraternity no longer has cathedrals and monuments of stone to build, but it has even more noble work to perform than ever before. Freemasonry is a broad system of ethics, a science of human duties, and a system of morals accepted by all religions as essential to human excellence based upon the recognition of divine truth that mankind has a common origin and a common destiny, that the God is the creator and the father of all of us. Out of that relationship with deity grows the brotherhood of man. Freemasonry's great purpose is to intensify that relationship. Freemasonry teaches love, faith, and duty, unites man in the strong embrace of fraternal fellowship, and induces emulation of who can best work and best agree. Freemasonry thus becomes a school wherein are taught not only the virtues, but the useful lessons of everyday life. The Temple of King Solomon signifies to us the temple of our bodies, that is, our inner spiritual temple. The tools and implements used in the building of Solomon's temple signify to us the cultivation of the virtues to be practiced in the erection of the inner spiritual temple of man. The traditions associated with Solomon's temple serve as a worthy example for our imitation and inspire in us a love of what is good and true. Freemasonry teaches us that most important part of life lies in the discharge of our duties toward God and our fellow man. That eminent patron of Freemasonry, St. John the Evangelist, so old that he had to be carried in the arms of his friends into an assembly of children, lifted himself up and said, quote, "Little children, love one another," end quote. When asked, "Have you nothing else to tell us?" he replied, "I say again and again, because if you do this, nothing more is needed." That is the foundation of Freemasonry. Freemasonry is not a mere pastime nor a mere amusement. It is an active, living principle. Its ritual is symbolism, and its drama are not empty ceremonies. They serve to exemplify and impart important truths for mankind. Freemasonry adapts its theories, its ethical thought, and its teachings to the practical relations of life. There are no dogmas in Freemasonry. Its so-called secrecy is confined to a simple means of communication and methods of recognition. Its tenets are universally approved. What Freemasonry condemns, no good man upholds. The essence of Freemasonry is character. A man is what he does. The Mason's life and worth is not measured by wealth, fame, fortune, but by faithful, consistent, and unselfish service. In a like manner, the measure and worth of any institution is the effect it has upon the individual and society. What has Freemasonry given to mankind and society? It helped pave the way for freedom of speech. It has ever been the enemy of any power that suppressed free thought and the enslavement of the mind. It rejects bigotry, superstition, and persecution of all types, and the ignorance and fanaticism that invented instruments of torture and deprivation. It points out to man that free thought and free speech and the study of the sciences are necessary for mankind's mental and intellectual emancipation, that the study of nature brings man's soul nearer to his creator, and that knowledge drives out ignorance and superstition. It has taught mankind that after he has emancipated himself from the vices that tyrannize and oppress, He must learn to govern himself wisely by practicing the cardinal virtues of Freemasonry: temperance, fortitude, prudence, and justice. Man is a social creature. As such, our nature compels us to seek the companionship of others. We therefore see our brothers and their families, animated by the same noble purpose, meeting in the lodge where they can feel the hearty touch of the hand, hear words of inspiration and encouragement, and enjoy the pleasure, entertainment, and fellowship of this time-honored institution. While gathered in assemblies, we confer our ceremonial degrees, provide relief to the indigent, assistance to the worthy, and administer systems of care to those who are less fortunate. Freemasonry is all of this and much, much more. Beneath and beyond all of these is a deep, permanent passion for the betterment of the brotherhood of man. Freemasonry, ever supportive of religion, benevolence of morality, places before man the incentives to goodness through the contemplation of the holy principles of divine truth. The tenets of our ancient order are brotherly love, relief, and truth. And first among them is brotherly love. It is the very cement which holds together the social edifice of this world. No one can measure the extent of human sympathy or brotherly love, but we know it to be one of the mightiest social forces of all time. And that, without it, life would be merciless and cruel existence. We know that when there is an unselfish love in the hearts of men, the better nature within each of us responds in kind. It is this kindly spirit of brotherhood, the gentle touch of the hand, and the sympathetic word that brings forth a harvest of good deeds, noble thoughts, and the highest aspirations of mankind. Freemasonry has ever been the patron of learning. Its votaries long ago discovered that ignorance was the cause of nearly all of the evils and dangerous environments that afflict humanity, that education dispelled this evil, set free the victims of its influence, and put a smile where terror and despair had planted sorrow. In its unending efforts to eliminate such human afflictions, Freemasonry has perhaps performed its greatest labor in helping break down the walls of religious hatred and intolerance that for too long divided men into opposing sects and hostile camps. The great religious ecumenical councils of today and the religious tolerance and mutual understanding they endeavor to convey have been the foundation and practice of Freemasonry since time immemorial. The Freemason is thus prepared through ceremonies, rituals, and moral lessons to undertake his grand mission to teach by precept and example all that is beautiful and useful in this life. After all of the great lectures on philosophy have been delivered, when the wisest statesmen shall have done their utmost to alleviate what is harsh and cruel in social conditions, and science shall have unraveled the mysteries of the universe, there will still be the necessity for a kind smile, a helping hand, a cup of water, and a quiet word of encouragement. It is because Freemasonry has ever given the cup of water, extended the hand to one who has fallen, and spoken words of comfort and cheer, that millions of good men of every religion and culture, and from every corner of the world, have knelt at its altar. It is this same men, brothers in spirit and deed, with eyes uplifted and hearts responsive to the needs of those who are journeying through life with them, that form the Masonic fraternity throughout the world. It is the good and true men of this brotherhood that live with the great satisfaction which comes only from reliving, suffering, dispensing happiness, and to aid the unification of mankind. The structure of Freemasonry includes many organizations which we call our Masonic family. Just to name a few, Masonic organizations include, in part, the Blue Lodges, the Scottish and York Rite, and the Ancient Arabic Order of Nobles of the Mystic Shrine. Ladies' organizations include the Order of the Eastern Star and the Amarath, with membership open to men who are Freemasons. Youth organizations include Job's Daughters and Rainbow for Girls, for Young Women, and Order of DeMolay for Young Men. Each of these organizations has its own unique ceremonies and supports charitable and philanthropic causes. Every day, the Masonic family is responsible for contributing literally millions of dollars in charitable donations and thousands of volunteer hours to worthwhile causes of every kind. This, my brethren, is Freemasonry. May it live on through us for countless ages, and may we be ever worthy to spread the Masonic light for the generations yet to come. To these, our principal beliefs and poetic truths, we say, as our forefathers did before us, so mote it be. Okay, next I want to say our friends over at Onnit Labs are still rocking and rolling, bringing you amazing products that literally optimize your body. Products like Alpha Brain, which is a vitamin for your brain, literally gives you laser focus. I use it to kind of balance myself. I used to have to take some other medications for occasional anxiety, but now I just take Alpha Brain. And I'm not saying that this stuff is going to definitely work for your anxiety, but it works for mine. In any case, they also make other great stuff like Shroom Tech, which helps your blood carry more oxygen, which helps when you're working out. I tried it when I started running, and I noticed a huge difference, at least until I got back into the swing of running. They make some great fitness equipment as well, like battle ropes, jump ropes, pull-up bars, great health foods, and even some mood enhancement supplements. I have to tell you a quick short story about a close friend of mine. She decided that she was going to take a B12 vitamin to help increase her good mood, since she had been feeling kind of down. She picked up some, and it was 200% of her daily value of B12. And I showed her Onnit Labs product, New Mood, which actually is 1,000% of your B12. Needless to say, she switched, and now she's not stressed out anymore, and she really likes that supplement. So if you're interested, check out the link to Onnit on our website, www.wcypodcast.com, and click through. It doesn't cost you anything extra. It just helps us out because Onnit sends us a little bit back to help out with our show. Also, if you use code WCY, when you check out, you'll get 10% off. Also, if you listen to Rob Lewis's Far From Centered podcast, he has a code as well, which is RPL. So check it out. Next, I wanted to address a question that I put out a few weeks ago, which was, what do you want to hear more about on this show? And there were so many awesome ideas, but the overwhelming answers were the origin of the craft and more esoteric ideas. I have to say that I was very excited about the prospect for those, but origins is such a huge thing in itself, but I figured that maybe we could address a little bit every now and again. We know that we always say Freemasonry is from time immemorial. Many folks quote the 1717 story, and if you don't know, it's basically the joining of Grand Lodge when we started keeping records, written records, of who attended Lodge. That's really all the 1717 was. But we go back far, far, far in time, so much further than any recorded Lodge proceedings. In fact, I mentioned it before, but in this 1970s, we dated a lodge room in Pompeii to 14 AD, or we say now BCE. It was a well-put-together room, which means it was well-established, and if it was well-established, it had to have been around far before that date. And of course, I mean Freemasonry as ideas had to have been very old in general. Some scholars believe that Masonry is Christian, but how could that be if Freemasonry had been around before the Gospels were ever written? Freemasonry is as old as time. It encompasses all religions. It is so perfect that it fits into anyone's belief system quite easily. However, Freemasonry is not a religion. So how old is it, though? And if you think about that, we can't ever really know, because that's like asking how long humans have had cognizant thought enough to do the right thing. It's always been there. So more especially, we need to focus on when all these great ideas, philosophies, and mystic esoteric magic had been compiled into a course of teachings. Was it Egypt mystery schools, Greek philosophical societies, Atlantis? We won't ever really know. Still, there is this idea that there is hope in the fact that we will never know, if that makes any sense. I often think about how much I love to study the craft, but what intrigues me and keeps me looking for further light is that I know that I'll never know everything. That would be like actually having access to the brain of the architect, if you kind of get where I'm going with that. Anyway, let's get on to this week's famous Freemason. Now, I saw the name and I had no idea who this guy was until I saw the picture. Bert Lahr, Pacific Lodge, number 33, New York. So who the heck is this guy? Well, perhaps that you may know who he is, but maybe you don't. And if you don't, maybe you saw a little movie called The Wizard of Oz. He played the Cowardly Lion. Well, he was an American actor and a comedian. He's remembered today, of course, from his role as the Cowardly Lion in Wizard of Oz in 1939. But he was also well known for his work in burlesque, vaudeville, and on Broadway. He was born Irving Larheim on August 13, 1895, and he did pass away in December of 1967. Some neat facts about Brother Bert were that his lion costume was actually composed of real lion fur, and under the high-voltage lighting required for Oz's Technicolor scenes, it was unbearably hot. It was suggested by Larry Fine in 1955 that he replace Shemp from the Three Stooges in 1955, after Shemp died. Lahr occasionally appeared on television, including NBC's live version of the Cole Porter musical Let's Face It in 1954, the 1964 Hallmark Hall of Fame production The Fantastics, and an appearance as the mystery guest on What's My Line. He also performed in commercials, including a memorable series for Lay's Potato Chips during its long-running Bet You Can't Eat Just One campaign with Lahr as Aunt Tilly. At the American Shakespeare Festival, he played Bottom in A Midsummer Night's Dream in 1960, for which he received the Best Shakespearean Actor of the Year award. Well, Lair's later life was troubled. His first wife, Mercedes Del Pino, developed a severe mental health problem that left her hospitalized. This complicated his relationship with his second wife, Mildred Schroeder, as he had legal problems getting a divorce in New York State at the time. Mildred became tired of waiting and became involved with another man, marrying him. Bert was heartbroken, but eventually won Mildred back. Through all of this time, he had to continue to work and travel. In fact, Lair was filming The Night They Raided Minsky's when he passed away of cancer on December 4th, 1967. While the official cause of death was he had contracted pneumonia, it was later revealed that nobody even knew it, but he had suffered from cancer, and he had it for some time. His death forced the film's producers to actually use a double in several scenes. Lair is buried at Union Field Cemetery in Ridgewood, Queens. All right, well, that's about it for this week. Please remember to check out the Midnight Freemasons, publishing 3 articles a week, every week. Coming up, we have Judy Gordon and Steve Harrison, and I know Brother Todd and myself are both working on pieces, but don't count out the other guys either. They're always sending me stuff. Please leave us a rating on iTunes if you haven't done that yet. It does help us out in the ratings and such. Check out Brother Rob Lewis on the Far From Centered podcast, and you can follow him on Twitter at Far From Centered. Check out Brother Juan Sepulveda's pages and his podcast, The Winding Stairs, which is a more introspective Masonic show. It is very intellectual and very informative. If you'd like, you can follow him on Twitter at WindingStairs33. Check out all the businesses on our pages, which are owned or operated by brothers like Brother Jeff Koch at PB&J Water, which is a water filtration company. All the parts that they use are made in the United States. And of course, Brother Jeff is on the level. You can trust him with your H2O needs. Brother Charles Harper's book, Freemasonry in Black and White, is also there. It's a great book, so get a copy if you can. Thanks again to LA Masonic Center for the hospitality. Congrats to Rob Lewis on you being raised to the sublime degree of Master Mason. Maybe next time you visit my lodge. Anyway, if you guys want, you can email me anytime at wcypodcast@gmail.com. I always respond personally to the emails. I read every one of them myself. Also, under that email is our Google Plus page. Speaking of social media, please find us on Facebook and give us a like. Share it with your friends and brothers. Also, we're on Twitter at WhenceCameU. We're on Tumblr, Pinterest, etc. If you want to be on the show for an interview, shoot me an email. Likewise, if you have something for the Midnight Freemasons and you want to be a guest contributor, just email me. Anyway, stay on the level, everybody. For WhenceCameU, I'm Robert Johnson.